the things that we've been doing, and I'm really going to rush right through this because this is not news to any of you. Coverage of preventive services, dealing with the medical loss ratio. You'll see at the bottom, we returned $2.5 million to our members. That's on a revenue base in excess of $11 billion, only on behalf of our PPO membership, and no rebates related to our HMO membership. The uniform summary of benefits. Again, most of you probably let this one go by without much of a mention, but I will tell you that they were specifying the font size, they were specifying the paragraph size. Many millions of dollars were expended coming into compliance, but you know, we were compliant by September of 2012. Dealing with the deductible limits, and all of that's been done. Dealing with essential health benefits. In New York, again, because of a very robust set of mandatory benefits, this is not particularly meaningful. Just note that they use the small group Oxford EPO as the base benefit in New York, which is only of interest to people who know Oxford. Elimination of the annual and lifetime dollar limits. Again, we did not impose those before, and we do not now. Excuse me, we did actually, I don't think that's actually accurate. We did impose a lifetime, but not annual. 90-day wait, all again, these were changed and had to be communicated. Guaranteed renewability, in the small group market and individual market, New Yorkers were already covered by guaranteed renewability. So this is only a large group issue, and in fact, we had never denied coverage to a large group, so it really wasn't relevant to us. Same thing, guaranteed issue. I should have had those the other way around, I guess, would have made more sense, but very similar situation. Individuals in small group in New York already were protected by guaranteed issue, and we had never actually turned anybody down for issues, so therefore was not relevant. New York is the only pure community rating state in the nation prior to PPOC. These other states, Washington, Kentucky, Massachusetts, etc., had some form of community rating and a guaranteed issue. And I just, you know, I had to have a map too because John had a map. So I came up with this map. I just think, again, for us, there is no change as a result of PPACA. As has already been noted, this is a significant issue in other states. And I think the current spread in premiums in the individual market is as high as 7-1. So going to 3-1 quickly, you know, is clearly going to have an impact. And we're all going to have to manage our way through it, except in New York, where we already managed our way through it. Quite some now, over 10 years ago. The point of this slide is that this shows the change in coverage in New York as a result of the enactment of the PPACA. And I think what's most interesting in New York, and again, this is very different from other states, the Medicaid, which is kind of the green bar there in the middle, really doesn't change very much because New York had already expanded its Medicaid program prior. So we are a large Medicaid provider. We have in excess of 250,000 Medicaid members in our health plan. So, you know, it might have been a big change, and obviously in other states it will be for health plans that contract with states. Again, for us, this is a relatively minor change and not very important. I had to have another map, of course. This is the Medicaid expansion. You've already gone over this in the Medicaid panel, so I'll go right by it. And now I want to talk about the New York State Exchange. And we spent a lot of time with the state. Even in our mostly blue state, our legislature was unable to enact an exchange statute. But we have a very powerful governor. Mrs. Clinton doesn't run, you can expect our governor to be running for president, and God help us all. I loved his father. I worked for his father. But, you know, it's like that other political family on the other party. You know, some father's great, father, son. Anyway, yeah, we have a crazy legislature. Actually, our state assembly is Democrat, and our state senate is tied. But we have a group of dissident Democrats who caucus with the Republicans, and they actually exchange the leadership of the Senate on a regular basis, like every month or something like that. So it's a Republican for a month, a Democrat, a so-called Democrat for a month. But anyway, they refused to pass the statute. This has posed some issues because the state didn't have all the authority, but then luckily because we also have a pliable legislature these days, they came back and fixed that in legislation in the subsequent state budget. We had issues because New York State's legislative authority for health insurance is all over the place. We have one law for HMOs, another law for insurers. In our case, we're covered by both of them. There were a lot of differences. For example, HMOs being subject to maximum copay requirements that had to be dealt with. Rating regions were sort of at the behest of the plans, and now, of course, as was noted earlier, we have an absolute regulated set of regions. We have to offer exchange products outside of the exchange, and we already had a risk adjustment system in the individual market. We will continue to have a risk adjustment system both inside and outside of the exchange. The state developed a standard product at each metal level, and we do have to offer that. We're limited to 4 products per metal level. And it's important to note that product equals benefits plus cost sharing plus network. So if you think about this, you can have 2 different networks and 2 different cost sharing, and then all the benefits would have to be the same. That's what that means. And then you have to have similar numbers of products at each metal level. These are just the regions, and I know if you're not a New Yorker, you don't care, so I'm going to move right on. All right, now I want to talk about our decisions. We have decided that we will participate in the individual exchange, but not the shop exchange. And the reason is right there in the middle. The small group market has generally not been profitable. In our case, the medical loss ratio exceeds 90% of premium, and any of you who know private health insurance well will understand that 90% MLR is insufficient in the small group market, given its heavy administrative load. You're losing money at 90% because your administrative expense is probably going to exceed 15% in that market. And of course, cost-sharing subsidies are not available to the shop. I think the critical point about the difference here, first of all, we believe that the risk profile in the shop or in the small group market generally will deteriorate as PPACA is implemented. And the reason is that nearly 25% of small groups may drop coverage entirely. This is a number in the downstate New York market, resulting in approximately 300,000 to 315,000 consumers entering the individual market, of which about up to 280,000 will purchase individual insurance. We're also concerned about the inadequate participation requirements in the shop. Non-HMOs can have an exchange participation of 50%, whereas HMOs will not have a minimum participation requirement. And so again, that's a concern about the risk profile, and it creates an unfair advantage for non-HMO carriers that already have significant portions of the small group market. So, as I said, we believe the small group risk pool is likely to deteriorate. Now, it is true that this is a decision that is based upon our place in the small group marketplace in New York, and we presume that other carriers will come to a different decision. What has happened in New York is that carriers, including us, have begun to drop small group coverage. The first out of the gate was Empire Blue Cross, which is the largest insurer in the state, now a unit of WellPoint, who essentially dropped virtually all of their small group coverage about 18 months ago. We have announced a significant reduction in small group coverage, including particularly a reduction in broker fees, which will have the effect of stifling sales of small group products in New York. The reason for that has to do with the prior approval process and the small group market decisions. And, you know, I could editorialize on the prior approval process, but I just want to kind of tell you what I think is happening. We've had 3 years of experience. Like many other things, this change predated the enactment of PIPACA. And the process has basically focused on reducing proposed rates, not surprisingly. And I think the most important thing is that after 3 years, we can pretty clearly say that the approved trends have been significantly lower than actual trends, because of course now we have actual experience. You know, you can go, I think even though Rick is here, we can say, you know, you should go out and hug an actuary. You know, plans actually have pretty good actuaries. In fact, I would say they probably have better actuaries than generally state government, for the obvious reason that we pay more. And for the most part, my experience has been they're fairly good at predicting what the trend is going to be and what the experience with a given sector of the market is going to be. In the result of the prior approval process in New York is that our small group products generally have negative margins, and many of them have medical loss ratios in excess of 100%. And as I already noted, this is causing carriers to withdraw from the small group market. I think, again, I'm not sure what the answer to this is. I think transparency around trend factors would be at least helpful. But since experience trumps almost everything else in a given, you know, sector, and that's a judgment call, and actuaries differ on, you know, what the experience is likely to be, that's hard to do. It is certainly true that in New York, at least in our case, and this is all publicly available information, I have to be very careful here. My people in New York are very nervous about my even having a slide entitled Prior Approval Process. You can go on the Department of Financial Services website and find the decision making around all of the carriers. And in our case, you will actually find the department stating that they acknowledge that the rate that's been approved will essentially lead to losses in that product, but that since we're not for profit, it's our civic duty to contribute to the wherewithal of the state. I personally would challenge that as being an appropriate answer, but again, you can go on the website and make sure that I'm not making this up. And of course, the result, again, trying not to editorialize, is what's happening is that plans are withdrawing from this sector of the marketplace. Well, that's, I think, sort of my safe there, that I stayed out of trouble. Oh, thank you.
I'll protect you 100%. Don't
what?
Worry. Don't worry. I'll protect you.
So, again, the bottom line is that we are busily implementing this. We, like many of our colleagues, are spending hours with state officials who are putting up the exchanges, working through all of the many issues that are that had to be resolved. There are still unresolved issues. You know, just like this reporter from the New York, from the New Republic, we're concerned that the computers won't work. You know, certainly our experience with the electronic transmission of the administrative standards for electronic transmission, you know, we were ready to test with providers.